Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and we're pleased to be joined by Hines Ward, who is, you know, longtime NFL player. You know, he's been up for Hall of Fame votes and everything else, one of the toughest wide receivers. But also, now he's getting involved, you know, along with the TV stuff that he has done, he's also getting involved with the Alliance of American Football. And, of course, getting in there, which is a really good thing because it's so needed, the idea of having kind of a developmental type of league. And your role is going to be player relation executive. So kind of take us through. What got you into the Alliance of American Football?
Well, of course, you know, playing for Pittsburgh for 14 years, I have an opportunity to be a leader, a captain on the team. You know, I know what football players need, both on and off the field. You know, I saw it firsthand. But, you know, to be a part of the Alliance, you know, it's just all about a league of opportunity, an opportunity to give back to players to begin, extend, and revitalize their football careers. So I just think collectively as a group, the football minds that we've assembled, I mean, provides that credibility for the Alliance with former players, coaches, and also GM. So to be a part of that is just it's a blessing in itself. And, you know, Charlie Eversole, the CEO, and Bill Polian, asked me to be a part of the league on the executive side, and along with Troy Polamalu. We got Jared Allen, Justin Tuck. I mean, these are guys who have been great leaders, great players, and know their way around on the football field, of course, and off the football field as well. So I just think having players who played the game at a high level but also had some success off the field, I think, you know, we're able to be a voice to be that bridge to the players in our league. So I'm super excited to be a part of it.
Well, and then the great part is that you know, they've assembled a really good group because they've got former NFL coaches, former NFL general managers, and it looks like, you know, a good business operation. I mean, they've got the teams that are all set. I mean, the schedule is going to come right out right after the Super Bowl where they're going to start to play. And then, you know, it's so needed because, I mean, you know, for when they had the USFL and all the, you know, the leagues like that where you can send some players over and get some experience. But right now that hasn't been there. But what's great about this is now, I mean, you can get guys that'll get some good coaching, get a chance to play, and then be more viable for the future for the National Football League.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, take Mark Chapman, a wide receiver from Central Michigan. I mean, he had a trial with the Giants. Here's a good example. I mean, he went to the Broncos training camp, got cut September 1. He became the first overall pick in the 2018 CFL draft by the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And guess what? He turned it down because he wanted to be a part of the Alliance. He asked why? It's because of that, what you said, the credibility, being coached by former NFL guys, and being able to play in the same NFL schemes offensively. He signed with our Salt Lake City team. And I just think for a lot of guys who go off to Canada, you know, it's kind of hard to get evaluated by certain guys like that because schematically, they run a total different offense, 12 guys on the field. You can motion and move around and get open. So it's really hard for NFL guys to really evaluate talent. And so I think this league provides that. You know, the Alliance have an opportunity to give guys a chance to put it on tape. We all know training camp, it's really not enough time. I mean, you game one, preseason, you may get, you know, a lot of reps, but come game two, game three, you know, it's all about getting the starters prepared for the season. Then game four, I mean, you get a lot of reps, but really that it comes down to maybe two or three roster spots in that final preseason game. And if you get hurt over training camp, you really don't have a chance at all if you weren't drafted or whatnot. So I think the Alliance provides that for as we continue to grow collectively, I just think it gives the NFL a better pool to pull from. So I think timing-wise is key, too, because we start February 9th and we end at the end of April, which is around draft time. So we don't really get in the way of anyone's opportunity. I mean, a lot of guys now, normally during that time, they're just going to, like, workouts, off-season workouts, where now these guys are being able to put it on tape and be able to get evaluated by NFL scouts. To probably get a roster spot, and that's what it's all about.
Well, and the thing I remember back when they had the World League is that, you can send a guy over there, like a John Kitna, a Kurt Warner, and they get some experience. Where, I mean, I've seen in the last couple of years, I mean, you start the season, and you could have as many as 9 backup quarterbacks that have never played in this league or had a game down as far as being able to start. And, Ryan Nassib, a quarterback that was behind Eli Manning in New York, I mean, he goes 4 years, doesn't play, and is pretty much out of the league right now. And so a chance to be able to show something and learn and then start to get back to now where you can be more viable for the future for the NFL.
Oh, no question about it, John. Listen, I played with Tommy Maddox. I mean, here's a guy who kind of went all over. He played all over in every league, I think, and got an opportunity. And then when he came to Pittsburgh, man, I put up some great numbers with Tommy Maddox. So that's really, the alliance, that's what it provides. It gives these guys an opportunity to put on tape. And then our whole goal, ultimately, is to try to help these players one day fulfill their dreams to one day make it to the NFL and play.
Yeah, no question. And, of course, because, you get into this time of the year. It's now 8 weeks into the season. I mean, the players pretty much that are coming in for the injured players, no playing time, minimum salary guys in their rookie contracts and that. And at least now these guys will have a chance to, get out there and try to prove something. And then, it's not going to be as cold. Because, I mean, in fact, you can talk about the difference of what it's like when you were in the league compared to 2011 when they changed the collective bargaining agreement, because there isn't a lot of time that you can have if you're going to be a young player to pick up things and then try to go out there and play.
Yeah, and I think that's where that's the key. Now with the new CBA, what's going on, it's really hard because football in the NFL is basically all year long. They want all of your time, especially if you're a young up-and-coming guy who has, they potentially see you helping contribute to the team. I mean, they want all of your time, whereas the Alliance, give these guys, John, we always call them practice squad all-stars, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
guys who look great at practice, they catch everything, there's no pads, it's just, helmets and shells, and they dominate practice. And then you put it on, you take them to game day, and you don't know, they're like two different players. So, the Alliance, I mean, we're playing a 10-game season. We have playoffs, of course, but it gives these guys an opportunity and a chance to really put it on tape and get some good film under the lights. I think a lot of guys want to see if they can play under the lights when it counts the most. So if I'm a guy, undrafted guy that's trying to make a name for myself in the NFL, I want to be a part of the Alliance. I don't want to go to Canada. I don't want to really play arena football. I want to be coached by guys like Mike Singletary, Steve Spurrier, Mike Martz, Brad Childress, those guys, because they've lived it. They've been where I wanted to go. So I just think, it's all about the brand of football that you want to put out there. But I think you get a bunch of guys who have a big chip on their shoulders trying to prove and make it to the next level. I think it's going to be fun and exciting helping develop these guys and help them, achieve their goals as to one day make it to the NFL.
Well, that's the thing that's so different, because even now I'm amazed how quickly NFL teams are giving up on draft choices. I mean, we're seeing it with a trade deadline. We're seeing it with releases because, normally back in the old days, you'd have a player that was drafted. He's going to stay 5 years with the team. But now, more so than not, you get 3 years into your rookie contract. And if you're not making it, they give up on you. They move you. And, of course, if you can't find another team, then you're out of the league, where now at least you can go to the Alliance of American football and have a chance to at least resurrect some things and get back in the mix.
And I'll take it a step further, John. Also, it's those guys who maybe are too old to be on practice squad, but are like the fourth and fifth guy at their position. Those guys are the ones that get cut, and the league can't really protect them on the practice squad. The Alliance is a perfect opportunity for those guys, to sit there that, yes, they have potential to make a roster, but they're like the fifth or sixth wide receiver, and they can't really dress them out every day. And then they're too old to put on practice squad, so they're like right on the fence right there. And I think the Alliance would help give those guys an opportunity to showcase their talents and showcase that they can play at the next level. And then when they do that, trust me, if you can play football, the NFL is going to come out and they'll find you. No question about it. But I just think for those guys who got cut this past year, the CFL already started. Arena football is getting underway. I think there's so many players. I think we signed over 650 players already that are just waiting for the itch because they still want to play football. They want to play the game that they love. We give them an opportunity to get paid. The way we allocate our players, take the Atlanta Legends team, we allocate Georgia, Georgia Tech. So they already have a fan base already in the state of Georgia that they you know, that they feel comfortable with. They almost feel like, hey, this is an opportunity that I can showcase my skills in the same state that I either played my college ball or I grew up from and make a little money and also, you know, be able to play. I think that's the key. A lot of guys just want to play.
Well, that's the thing that I think that people don't realize right now is that, you know, guys are already signed, but they also have the ability, if a team needs them in the NFL, they can get out of the contract and go to that team. Kind of talk about how that operation works.
Well, we never wanted to compete with the NFL. We want to be a complementary to the league. You know, we want to be able to help these guys fulfill their dreams. And if any NFL teams come at us and be like, hey, we like this player, we want to give them, we're never going to hold that player back. We just, you know, when our season starts from February into April, then they're locked into playing. We want these guys to really play. We don't want them to go to a team and just sit there and work out all day and not even miss out on an opportunity to put it on tape to showcase that they can play. But outside of that, I mean, we're all for it. We're all about helping these guys make it to the next level. And really, you know, you talk about being complimentary, that's really what we're about.
No question. And I think that's going to be what the value of this thing is going to be. Talk about, are there going to be some experimental rules to try to, you know, maybe push the game a little bit farther?
Yeah, of course, you know, we want to try to speed up the game a little bit, but also we want to protect the players. And I think by eliminating kickoff, which is great, you know, a lot of these kickers are kicking in the back of the end zone anyway. So we're just going to do away with kickoff. And if you've never been on kickoff, there's a lot of injuries that go along with kickoff and kickoff return. So why not eliminate that aspect? Let's get the ball. Let's start them off on 20, 25-yard line and let's play ball. Let's line up and just go. And we still have punt return. We're still going to have field goals. We're going to speed up the process and eliminate extra points. We're going to make every team go for it in two, which you're starting to see that a lot anyway in the NFL. It just speeds up the game. And then also we want to help protect the players, especially quarterbacks, by trying to limit it, limit some of the exotic blitzes, you know, blitzing five guys from one side and bringing three from another side. You know, our whole thing is we want to protect the quarterbacks by not having any free blitzers. So if we don't go out there, you know, if you get beat one-on-one, that's just part of football. But, you know, we're getting a lot of offensive linemen, and I think that's the main key is, you know, our league, the Alliance is really doesn't have that many offensive linemen. So to sit there and put a guy that may not ever have any NFL experience and put him out there and expect him to pick up a TE stunt where you got to tackle in kind of switching, that's hard enough as it is. And then you throw in these exotic blitzes that I know Tim Lewis, who's the head coach of Birmingham, coming from Pittsburgh, he knows all about Blitzburg. So, you know, we have to somehow protect our quarterback. So by limiting some of the blitz packages that they can run and not over, putting rushing four to five guys to one side, I think limiting that will help provide us the protection that we want for our quarterbacks, but also still, you know, be able to develop and see what these guys can do on a day-to-day, on a week-to-week basis.
Let's talk some current NFL football. Do you like the way that the game has changed to protect the wide receivers and make things a little bit more wide open? Or is it almost too much? Because you were always one of the toughest guys at wide receiver in the league. I mean, you were the most physical guy that, you loved the physical part of the game. Is it getting a little bit too protective?
I don't know about a little protective. I mean, I understand everyone wants to make the game safer. I get it. But at the end of the day, John, it's still football. You know, I just think sometimes we're rewarding receivers who are getting blown up going across the middles. But I don't think sometimes it's the quarterback's fault. You know, I look at some guys getting blown up. Well, why is a quarterback read taking him there? He shouldn't even be throwing the ball there. You know, sometimes it's almost like we're rewarding offensive guys for their mistakes. I mean, if a defense runs a perfect scheme and a quarterback wants to force feed it to the wide receiver, well, he has defenders that are looking at the quarterback eyes, and chances are when he throw it in that small window, you're going to get a huge explosion. You're going to get a huge collision at the point, right? So I just think on television, it looks awful, but then we don't look at the big scheme of thing. Well, the quarterback missed the read. The guy's standing wide open, but he wants to throw it in this tight window with three or four guys around it, and then they collide on him and come up with a devastating hit. And then now the defense, they're getting flagged for it, which is not fair to them. You know, you need to punish the quarterback for making that wrong read and throwing the receiver into a blow-up. You know, so I get it. It's frustrating. I would just hate to be a defensive player because I don't know really how to tackle people anymore. You can't touch the quarterback. You can't touch the receiver 5 yards off. When I grew up, when I was growing up, yes, I understand, you know, the crack back blocks, they want to clean that up. But when you cross the middle and catch a ball across the middle, that was like danger zone. So to guys who've done it in the past, Michael Irvin, Andre Reed, those guys who went across the middle, made their name for making tough catches. I mean, that's what football was about, because, you know, now you get little guys that are dominating the game. Whereas back when I was playing, little guys were only able to play in that run and gun offense. You know, growing up in Atlanta, the run and gun, we had a bunch of little guys dominating the game. And the theory about them, well, they only can play in that style of offense. They only can play slot. And now you're starting to see little guys dominating both inside and outside.
What have you ever seen a situation like the Le'Veon Bell situation with your former team, the Steelers, holding out 8 weeks into the season, losing $855,000 and not gaining everything? How weird is that situation?
Oh, man, it's unprecedented. I've never seen really a holdout like that, being that a guy is really taking a whole year off his body and a chance to try to maximize as much money he possibly can, which I get it. I understand the business aspect of it. I held out. I was a holdout for Pittsburgh as well, you know. But I love the game of football, and I said, well, if I have to go into camp and play it, then so be it. But I held in. They gave me a contract, and we ended up, you know, it went from there. We ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, so everything worked out for the best. But I get it for Le'Veon Bell. I mean, we talked about it earlier. I mean, you know, the running back position. It's just, you know, the lifespan of the running back, you don't have that many years. And Le'Veon's still young. And, you know, you franchise him one time. I get it. You know, and he went out and showcased what he can do it. But I think to franchise him for the second time, it's different than quarterbacks, because quarterbacks, they already protect quarterbacks as it is, because you can't touch a quarterback. But you take Kirk Cousins being franchised twice, well, he's like, I'm all for it. You know, yeah, when I sign my next contract, it can't be lower than what they're giving me on the franchise tag. So you get that aspect. But the running back is a different animal. I mean, you're getting hit each and every play. Either you're running the ball, unless you're scoring every time you touch it, you're going to get tackled. And then, of course, you got to pass protect. But then you add in a different element with Le'Veon Bell, and you add him at the wide receiver position, you're adding in more possibility or more plays for him to get injured. So I get it. I understand his, you know, his thinking business-wise, and all you can do as a player is respect it. That's his business decision. You know, personally, selfishly, for me, I want to see him out there with my Steelers and helping us try to win Super Bowls, but I get it because of that position, the running back position. And the more he can kind of save hits off his body and hit that free agency, listen, there's one team that's out there would love to have a Le'Veon Bell on their team. I could tell you that. So Le'Veon Bell missing out, that's just a business decision that he made. I don't really know what his plans are when he goes back to Pittsburgh before week 11. But, you know, whatever his plan is as a player, all I can do is respect that, John.
Okay, well, it's good to have you in the Alliance of American Football. It's good to see all the good things going on in your post-NFL career. Hines Ward, thanks for joining us on Schooled with the Professor.
No problem, anytime.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.